Amen. Well, let's turn to the Bible's Galatians chapter 6. We'll be around verse 6 through 9. Boy, Jeremy, you growed up, didn't you? I'll never forget that McMullen County High School game. Yeah, we could tell you. I'll never forget the Lakey High School game. Was you in that one? We beat them. Yeah. I know Mike remembers that one, right? Brother Joe was at that one. Oh. We were very good winners back then, too. That's a year I think we beat Somerset High School or Long Island. We were cocky back then. You were cocky. I do. Yeah. Oh, I tell you. We have a lot of fun, you know, and this is, we have regionals tomorrow, starting tomorrow, our basketball team does, and even the junior high, they're going to have, I think theirs is actually their playoffs, and then we, so tomorrow they'll do what they call it, the seeding, you know, we'll know what it more about it after tomorrow, and then Friday, I think it ends up being single elimination, right? But anyway, we're just praying that we do well. We got to win, what, two games? If we're going to go to state. But, you know, just get back to what I was saying. I mean, Collins' athletic career may be over tomorrow. No, Friday. You know, it's all sad. Man, I just start crying sometimes when I drive by the football field, you know, and everything. But, well, we had a blast, didn't we? But anyway, Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Talk about one of my favorite subjects. You know, I love the teachers at Town East. I love the Sunday school teachers. This is actually talking about teachers. There's some interesting wording here. Look at the way it is in verse 6, or the way it reads in verse 6. And you look at verses 7 and 8. I've heard a lot of message preached on that, but you maybe have never heard it preached in this context before. This is actually in a context of teachers. And, you know, there is a gift of teaching. You know, when I would try to hire somebody, Brother Kevin, one of the things I want to make sure of, they have a gift to teach. I mean, that's number one, if you ask me. I mean, I know some PhDs that can't preach their way out of a paper bag, you know, and or teach their way out of it. But anyway, look at the interesting wording that we see in verse 6, okay? And try to catch it. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Do you catch that? Isn't that kind of interesting, the way that's worded? And that's actually talking about a teachers, and it's talking about the relationship, not so much the student to the teacher, the teacher to the student, but the student to the teacher and how they're supposed to treat their teacher. Let's read it one more time in that, with that thought in mind. Let him that is taught in the word, that you, when you're taught, right, we're taught during Sunday school, we get taught during Sunday school, and so we're taught in the word, right? So it's talking to us as students, and it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Need to be nice to him. And, you know, our pastor kind of nailed it this past week. But, you know, teachers, they, if I were going to give this a title, by the way, I'd entitle it How to Treat Your Teacher. You know, we need to be nice to our teachers, right? I've always said there's two people you never want to criticize in front of your child. Okay, one of them is your child's teacher, and the other is your child's pastor. I mean, you can disagree. There's going to be certain disagreements, right? You've already learned that, aren't you, Brother Kevin? Be certain disagreements that we have to deal with. And if you do have a disagreement with your teacher, you need to meet with him in private, and you don't want to say anything in front of that student. And I could just about tell you the students that's in our school, which parents really support us, right, Robin? We can tell, can't we, which ones support us and which ones do not. And I'll tell you what, when I was growing up, and I wasn't saved, my parents weren't saved, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I went to a school in Shawnee, Oklahoma called Irving Elementary. I mean, we had little red beanies back then. I remember those. And I can't believe I used to wear those things. It had Irving on the front of it, you know, but kids would just laugh at us if they saw us wearing something like that today, right? Maybe we ought to get some of those, Miss Lisa, okay? Let's get some beanies that says Town East. And see, when I'm talking about beanies, I'm not talking about the stocking cap. I'm talking about the little beanie, you know, like that. But I don't know. We probably wouldn't want to invest too much money in it. I got a feeling we wouldn't sell too many of them, right? But I thought they were cool back in. But now, look, I'm talking in the 60s, okay? But teachers, you know, they They are among the most important in our society. Would you agree? Yeah. Have you seen the stickers before? You know, you pull up behind a car and it says, if you can read this, what's the rest of it say? Thank a teacher. Right? And so our teachers, did I say something dumb?
You haven't seen all the bumper stickers.
What did I say?
You haven't seen all the bumper stickers. If you can read this.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one, okay. on live feed, they're wondering, what in the world are they talking about, you know? But anyway, ask me, y'all. Well, next time you see me, I'll tell you what we were talking about here. We was talking about bumper stickers, okay? But anyway, talking about teachers. I mean, how should you treat your teachers? You ought to be nice to your teachers. I know at Christmas time, I'm really thankful that the parents are, for the most part, they're real supportive, you know? Man, we got a stack of gift cards this year, didn't we, darling? I don't know that we've still used them all. Those are always fun, you know, or it's good to send, you know, maybe on Valentine's Day. That's a good time to send your teacher something, right, and send them some flowers, something like that, unless it's Mr. Stevens. I don't know if he'd want flowers or not, okay? But anyway, teachers, you need to be nice to your teachers, okay? These women, I'm very mindful of the women. You know, they actually have a full-time job outside of the school, don't they? And I remember watching my wife. We had two uniforms when our kids were going to school, and she washed one. By the way, Jeremy, it's not washed. They corrected me in Missouri. It don't have an R in it, you know, but she washed them. That's why I was listening to you. That you what? Okay. All right, Mike, I'm already chasing rabbits, okay? But anyway, teachers. They're under a lot of stress. God only knows what they're going through at home. I mean, it's stressful when you're raising kids, right? There's a lot. They have a life outside of school. I always try to be mindful of their time when they're up here. I've always thanked the husband sometime for, lending. I don't know if I ever did you, Mike, or not, but that did not come out right, okay? But I didn't mean that like that, okay, Linda? Yeah, let's just end that thought right there. All right, but, you know, teachers, they're under a lot of stress, right? And, you know, most of our teachers, again, I say they have a full-time job outside of the school, and it's something we need to be mindful of. I've always tried to make things as easy as I possibly could on the teachers that are up here teaching. I mean, they have a full-time job here, and they got a full-time job at home. Yeah. And then if they have students that are in the athletic department, I mean, sometimes they're not getting home till like 10, 11. They have an away game. You know, they're not getting home till 10, 11 o'clock at night. You know, so I try to be mindful about things like that. You know, but teachers, they do have a special relationship with their students. And that's what this verse is talking about in verse 6. Except actually, it's students should have a special relationship with their teacher. And when they say communicate unto him all good things, I'll break that down in just a minute, all right? But we need to be good to them. We need to support them in what they do. Now, the thing that come to my mind with what the pastor said this last time, one of the greatest things, remember what he said? One of the biggest encouragements that he has as a pastor is what? Did anybody remember that? You show up. That's always a good thing. I was pastoring a mission for a while out in the Poteet area, and I would get ready to preach. I don't know if Debbie remembers any of this or not, okay? But on Wednesdays, I'd get ready to preach every Wednesday. Then nobody would show up. I'd take that message, Kevin, and I'd put it in a shoebox. And then I'd get ready to preach all over again. I just didn't feel like it was, you know. And then do you remember what we would do when nobody would show up? Remember I read to y'all? I don't know if you remember or not. You was probably like four back in. But I would read the kids' Pilgrim's Progress. We'd do that during church, you know. And you don't remember any of that, right? So, but anyway, I remember one time going to mom and says, I always wanted to make sure she was ready to get saved, okay? But one time she went to mom and says, Mama, Daddy won't let me get saved, you know? And so anyway, then I ended up witnessing to her, you know, but oh, we could tell you some stories about the mission, but teachers, okay? You know, teachers, they do have a special place in my heart, but teachers, they do deserve the utmost respect, okay? So that being said, how should I treat my teacher? And that's what I'm going to entitle this here. We see in verse 6. First of all, if I were to look at that verse and study it and try to understand what Paul is trying to say here to the church at Galatia, I think what he's saying right here, is that we need to do good. We need to do good to our teachers, not bad. Now, I'll tell you what, if you've been teaching for any length of time at all, you have some teachers that are not nice to you. And that's not good, you know. And I always try to protect the teachers best I can. I'd always try to, one of the first things I'd tell them, you know, when I'd be interviewing them for the job, I'd say, well, I can tell you this, I'm gonna back you up. You know, I'd tell them whether you're right or wrong, I'll back you up, okay, in front of a parent. I would tell them that. And then if you were wrong, then I'd get you into my office, you know, and then I'd try to show you a more excellent way. Do you remember me talking to you like that, sis? Or you don't remember that meeting, right? Of course, that was so long ago, you know. But anyway, you know, one of the ways that you can do good to your teacher and communicate unto all good things is, like the pastor said, is simply just being present. You know, that's always a big encouragement. You know, when I have more people in the Sunday school class, I seem like I do a little better. I think when the pastor has more people in the auditorium, he seems like he does a little bit better. Yeah. Because somebody is there, okay? So we communicate and we share in the ministry. You hear where, I remember my pastor in Alvin when I was there, Brother Jimmy Lilly, he was head of the BIMI, and he would go visiting in the hospitals on Wednesday. I always enjoyed going with him, and he's the one that got me to passing out tracts like I passed out. But anyway, you know, we need to communicate and share in the ministry of our teacher and support him in every way possible, all right? They'd be good to do with the pastor like that. You know, if you hear he's going to visit him, I'm sure he would be glad to take you along, right? But it certainly means if you're going to support your teacher, it certainly means a whole lot more than just supporting him financially, right? Although the Bible does have a lot to say about that when it comes to the pastor. It was Colin one time when he was about, I don't know, Debbie, how old was he? But probably about 3 or 4. And he referred to Brother Larry as the teacher of the church. I remember Brother Larry liked that. He said, yeah, I like that, you know, the teacher of the church. And that's what he is. And so it's always a blessing, you know, when you support your pastor like that or your teacher. And I'll tell you what, maybe God would lay something on your heart. And maybe you have kids in school, and you should do something nice for you. Even just write them a note. It wouldn't even have to cost anything. No, but just write them a good positive note, all right? But the scripture in verse 6, it's speaking directly to the learner or to the person. Here we see in verse 6 that that teaches the Word of God. Anybody that teaches the Word of God, they certainly deserve our utmost respect, right? I respect the office of the pastor. I respect the Word of God. You know, I respect them, you know, for their work's sake, the Bible says. I remember one thought I was thinking as I was preparing for this. Where was it that Paul said at the very end? It was probably to the preacher boy, Timothy. But he says, one of the ways you could help your teacher or your pastor, the Bible says to be at peace among yourselves. Remember that verse? Is that where it was? Was that in Timothy? I don't remember. But maybe y'all, that would be one way you could communicate with him and encourage him. It's always a blessing if the pastor isn't having to put out fires every time they turn around, right? But now the learner, as the learner of the Word of God, or the student of the Word of God, or the student for that matter, even in the Christian school, you know, they have a certain responsibility to the teacher. Just as the teacher has a responsibility to the learner. Now, the learner shares what the teacher, the Bible says, in all good things. So here's some things I just thought about, you know. The learner shares in the ministry of the teacher by, already mentioned one thing, just by simply being present. You know, that would be a big plus, and that would be a blessing, okay? Or by being attentive, you know, and learning what the teacher, you know, is trying to teach. I know my wife, she's always taking notes. I used to take notes. Probably I should do that more, right? You know, but I want to try to concentrate, you know, on what's being said. But being attentive, and, you know, sometimes the pastor might ask for some kind of a communication or an amen or a tambourine or something, you know. But sharing in discussions of what the teacher is teaching, that's always good. If the pastor asks, here's the thing, the pastor knows if you're paying attention or not. If he asks a question, if somebody immediately responds, well, they know he must be listening. That's an encouragement, right? You know, or even in, you know, in Sunday school, you know, and we do a lot of one-on-one and talking back and forth in my class, and I'm sure Kevin does too, and, you know, in his, but participating in the teacher, you know, in his or her full ministry, supporting the teacher financially. That wouldn't be a bad thing, you know, or giving them some kind of a thoughtful gift wouldn't have to be a whole lot, you know, and, you know, HEB card, or we used to do food pounds. They've kind of gotten obsolete, haven't they? So now we had, I remember when the pastor came here, we introduced you to HEB, right? And you had all kinds of cards like that and Creamy Creations and all of that. But and just encouraging others to come and learn, you know, from the teacher, that's going to be a blessing also. So one other, another thought here, the reference to word, it means what? And if I'm not mistaken, in verse 6, into the word, that's talking about the word of God. Right? And so a teacher should always be teaching the Word of God and teaching what the lesson, that's the lesson plan in the church, is teaching the Word of God. That's the only thing I know how to teach. Personally, I'm not all that smart. These kids nowadays, I mean, Debbie, these kids in high school, they are so much smarter than I was. I took Algebra 1 in my senior year, Jeremy, in my senior year, okay? And I had to have that credit to graduate. And I didn't know if I've even passed or not. And we went to commencement practice, and what they told me, they said, look, if your name is on a chair, you made it. And so we're all marching in, and I'm going down here, and I'm hyperventilating, and then I saw my name on a chair, you know. But I didn't learn algebra too well. I was not all that smart. And then look what God did with me, you know. And then I ended up going to Bible college. And he definitely used the foolish to confound the wise when he picked me, amen. But, you know, a teacher should always, but I just teach the Word of God. You know, I believe the Word of God. I mean, when I got saved, I do remember December 8th, 1971. I remember what I went down front and the pastor taught me about Romans 10, 9, 10, 13. And I just believed it, you know. He talked about John 3:16, everlasting life. You know, Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life, right? I'm just simple-minded enough, I just believed it. You know, and then I just immediately started communicating with my pastor, going with him, visiting, just mimicking him, trying to do everything that he's doing and learning from him. And it was a real encouragement to him. I remember the deacon, he was impressed with me. I don't know why, but he ended up getting me my first old Scofield Bible. I still got that old thing. Old black book, you know, but the learner should always be sure that he is sitting under a teacher who is teaching the Word of God, okay? The teacher of the church, I would say this, should never be in want. I mean, it's our responsibility as members, as students of the Word of God, to communicate unto him and to make sure that he's taken care of, right? And the teacher of church should always have the support that he needs. A couple of verses right here. Okay, one is in Matthew 10, 9. Provide neither gold, silver, nor brass in your purses, you know, because expect the members to do that. Another one in 1 Corinthians 9, 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel, and all kinds of other verses, you know, that we could talk about. So the first thing about how I should treat my teacher is to communicate unto him like it's talking about in, you know, verse 6. But another one is to listen to the teacher when he's teaching in verses 7 through 9. Now look, I know how preachers have preached, but think about this. Matter of fact, you can even go down to verse 10, okay? But you look at what's sandwiched in between verse 6 and verse 10, and look at what he says. It almost seems like it doesn't belong, but it does. But I'm going to tell you how I'll apply this just a minute in the context of what we're talking about. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And look, the principle is here. I understand this, and you can teach it and preach it any way you want to, and it's not necessarily going to be wrong. But it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you think about that particular verse in the context of a student who's sitting under the Word of God. It's kind of sobering in a way, is it not? I mean, well, you're going to reap what you sow. That's what the Bible says. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, you know. And then we get down to verse 9, but I don't want to go that far just yet, okay? So there's a person can be deceived. And so that's one reason. Another, you as a student, you need to communicate with the teacher and listen to the teacher, solid theology and doctrine and messages from the Word of God, and it'll help you not to be deceived. And if you don't do that, if you don't learn You know, you're going to reap something that you don't want to reap, right? But the word deceived, it means to be led astray. You take that Greek word translated there, deceived, it talks about to be led astray. If you're not solid in the Word of God, you're going to be led astray. And I tell you what, you have the Spirit of God that bears witness with your spirit. Sometimes it you know if something don't sound just right. And then you can go to the teacher of the church, and he can talk to you. And I'm sure you got a lot of questions, you know, that you may would have. I still have questions nowadays. I remember Brother Joe years ago, I was talking about where the Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I said, what do you believe about that, Brother Joe? You know, I said, I kind of believe that it's, I don't know, if it's going to be here on this earth, it seems like God's going to have to do an awful lot of restoration, right? You know, after the, you know, the Great Tribulation. And so I felt like it maybe, you know, the New Jerusalem, when it comes down. Do you remember the verses in Revelation? They're just going to, I get this idea, it's on these air jets or something. But it never does really land on the earth, if you read that, okay? So it's just kind of hovering. I mean, that's my idea anyway. I got these, I can't prove that from the Word of God, sis, okay? But anyway, that's what I believe. I said, what do you think, Brother Joe? You know, and you think, he felt like it was going to be right here. That's the only time I think I ever disagreed with Brother Joe, okay? Because I think there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what I think, you know. But, I guess we'll find out someday. But we know for sure that our mansions is in the New Jerusalem, right? You know, when it comes down, you know. So I don't know if he's going to take off and have a new one or just how it's going to be, you know. But I have questions. Are these the kinds of things you go to sleep and think about? I don't know, you know. But there's all kinds of questions that we might have. We'll find out someday. You know what? Brother Joe already knows for sure, don't he? Yeah. He already knows for sure what it's going to be. But the Galatians, if you'll remember, one of the reasons Paul wrote to the Galatians is they were getting sucked in to some of this false doctrine because they was not responding to the teacher like they should. All right? They were being led astray in this matter of judgment, especially. You know, so the Galatians, they were failing to share in the ministry of Paul. They were becoming critics of him rather than supporters. And I'm sure as a teacher of the Word of God, it just broke Paul's heart, you know, to see them being led astray. And so the Galatians, they were attacking the teacher of God. And then I think that's where these verses kick in right here. You know, starting with verse 7, be not deceived. I mean, if you're attacking the teacher of the church, you're attacking God, right? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, you know, and so you want to be careful about that. You know, the Galatians were attacking the teacher of God, which was the equivalent of mocking God, right? And they weren't going to get away with it. And that word mocked, the Greek word that's translated mock, it's an interesting word too. It means to turn one's nose up at God. Be not deceived. Can you imagine that? They just turn their nose up at God. You know, I could never bring myself to do something like that. You know, but anyway, I guess I should be careful. You know, I guess you never want to say never. But be not deceived. God's not mocked. You know, and whatever you sow, that's something that you're going to reap. Right. So by rejecting God's minister, the teacher whom God had sent to them, the Galatians were rejecting God. Now, again, I want to ask you the question. Whose man is it that's the teacher of the church? It's God's man, right? And so if you turn your nose up at the teacher of the church or any that's teaching the Word of God and is faithful to teach the Word of God, you're turning your nose up at God. And don't fool yourself. That's what he's saying. Don't be deceived because God's not going to be mocked in this particular matter, okay? So they were rejecting God. And by rejecting and mocking the teacher of God, again, they were mocking God, right? And now notice, Scripture declares in no uncertain terms, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Do not be deceived. If a man sows a life of, let me give you just a little list, and I'll just read it to you, because I want to try to, Mike wants me to get done soon here, right? But how long is this going? No, he didn't say that. But don't be deceived if a man sows a life that is not present when the teacher teaches. I'll tell you what, if you're not here to hear the Word of God taught, you know, you're not gonna hear what God wants to say to you, right? That's a way of mocking God in a way. Now, or at the very least, it's a way of you turning your nose up at it, right? Don't be deceived. If a man sows a life that is not present when the teacher teaches, that is not attentive and learning when the teacher teaches, that does not pass on what the teacher teaches, that does not participate with the teacher in his ministry, that does not encourage others to learn from the teacher. If a man sows this rejection, this turning up of the nose, he rejects and he turns his nose up at God. Am I telling the truth? I mean, I think that's what this is saying right here. So, and if this man, by the way, you finish this thought for me. If a man sows this rejection, then he shall be rejected of God. Right? Do you see where I was going with that? Okay. So, now what is the judgment of God for bad behavior toward God's teacher? Okay. Well, you go on in those verses right there as you continue. If a believer sows corruption, he is going to reap corruption. Is that what it says? For he that sows his flesh shall his flesh reap corruption. He that sows his spirit shall... Okay, so we'll stop at the first part of that, all right? So if he does not listen to the teacher's warnings about the lust of the flesh, he shall reap of the lust of the flesh. I've tried carefully to teach my kids, teach the students. I've tried to give them advice, not going to be able to teach college much longer, right? We just got to hope it took, somewhere along the way, right? And I'm sure you probably feel the same. Too late for Julian, right? Well, maybe not too late. I don't mean that in the wrong way, but you just got to hope you did your job. You know, that he's out there making good choices, and not turning his nose up at God. And from what I can see, y'all did a good job. Right? And so he respects God. He respects the word of God. He respects the teacher of God. But if you don't listen to the teacher's warning, you're going to reap the lust of the flesh. If he does not listen to the teacher's warnings, he will be overtaken by appeal, pull, cravings, passions, lust. Could I list some of them for you? I mean, look, there's endless lists of things that we could list right here, okay? Worship as you desire. What was that that we used to find? It's almost obsolete now. I was trying to think about this earlier today, but read the horoscopes. That was the word I was trying to think of today, horoscopes. Does anybody do that anymore? Do you find it interesting at all? In the Seminole, I forget what the paper's called. It's not the Chronicle or something, but they would have the horoscope there. And who was that other? Who was that other lady that was supposed to have? What was her name? Jeannie Dixon. I thought of it, right? Anybody heard of Jeannie Dixon? Anybody? I'm really dating myself here. You heard of her? Yeah. And she was always trying to prophesy and things like that, right? And boy, Steve, you and me are the only two that ever heard of Jeannie Dixon, And was she the one that's supposed to have predicted Kennedy's assassination? Or I don't remember. But people get hooked on that stuff, right? Listen, if you are not affording yourself to the teaching of the Word of God and the warnings of the Word of God, and when the pastor tries to warn us about things like that, you're going to be sucked into some of these things, right? And it gets addictive, Worship, yes, you desire. Seek destiny from astrology. Live as you please. Now, Darlene is Scorpio. She's lived in South Texas her whole life, right?
No, I didn't.
Well, okay. Okay, Houston is Texas, okay. But yeah, she's never been scorpion stung. And I mean, I've been laying right beside her in bed and get stung in bed. That last one that stung me, it hit you and you just, it's like electricity. I threw the covers back like this, all the way off. Here's one of those little fat ones. You ever seen them, the little fat ones with a little tail? Nailed me. She's never been stung by one. I thought, that is not right. You know what she said? She said, because I'm Scorpio. That's what she said. So, I don't know, baby. You need to repent, okay? You think there's... I don't know, Miss Christie. You think there's anything to that?
Maybe the Scorpio part.
Okay. I was out gathering firewood just... And I grabbed one of those bark scorpions, the ones with two stripes down their back. Nailed me good. I should have had my gloves on, But, yeah. The bark scorpions, they get up in between the bark and that, you know, but okay. We're on astrology right now, but, you know, strive, you know, they strive against others. You know, somebody that's not living right, it's like a battle. It's like a battle cry. They just want to fight all the time. They fight with other members. They fight with members of maybe of their own family. You know, they just, they hoard. They seek things of this world if they're not living right, okay? So anyway, this list could go on and on, but I think the verse is well understood, all right? But God's teachers must be heard and their lessons learned because they teach the word of God, right? His teachers, you know, if a man rejects God's teachers, he's choosing to sow to the flesh. And then what's the Bible saying here? If you sow to the flesh, you're going to, of the flesh, the Bible says, reap corruption. You know, and that's what it says. So, I got three verses here. God is not mocked. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deed, you shall live. God is not mocked. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed a man wants to die, he's not going to be mocked like that, right? That's one date we're going to keep. You know, the Bible says, teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom, right? We all have an appointed time, the Bible talks about. That's one date you won't be late for. That's one date that you won't miss. And, you know, and God knows, right? And God is not mocked. Here's one, all right? Because if they sow the wind, by the way, you know what? I'll let y'all figure out the context of this verse. If you sow the wind, you're going to reap, the Bible says, the whirlwind. Y'all look the context of that up, okay? Good context, especially you young parents, all right? So now, if a believer sows to the Spirit, the Bible says in the latter part of verse 8, then he shall reap life everlasting. You know, that's something that's good. If we listen to the teacher's exhortations about salvation, we shall reap the Spirit of God. And that's something I just, you know, I was raised pretty much in a Southern Baptist church, you know, there in central Oklahoma. And my grandparents, they were into it, you know, all the way. My grandpa was a deacon. You know, they belonged to those, I forget what it's called, Eastern Stars. That was grandma, right? I mean, they were in, and they took me to church. I remember one time taking Jeremy a deck of cards to Sunday school. Oh, my grandma thought it was like blasphemy. You know, all they did was take a deck of cards. I like just playing with them. I didn't play poker or anything, but I just thought they were cool, you know. And, man, she got all over me about that. But the point is, she tried to teach me about godly things. And you know what? That one Wednesday night I went, Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. The Spirit of God drew me to the front. And then he showed me from the Word of God how that I could have everlasting life. And I just believed it, right? And so, in this particular case right here, then we see that the latter part of verse 8 applies. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, okay? So God is not mocked, all right? If a believer sows to the Spirit, he's going to reap this. If we listen to the teacher's exhortations about salvation, we'll reap the Spirit of God. If we listen to the teachers of the church, if we listen to them, the Spirit of God will actually enter our lives, take up residence there. If we listen to the teachers about faithfulness, guess what? All right, we can live a life of love, joy, and peace. And if we listen to God's teachers, we shall live forever with God in the new heaven and the new earth, wherever it's going to be, whether it's on this earth or it's in a new heaven or new earth, whichever, okay? Now, for the lost person, now here's something that's said. For the lost person, the Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you remember the story, the Old Testament story right there? There were serpents that was going around. They was biting the children of God. You know, it was Moses, right? Okay, and yeah, as Moses lifted up the serpent, okay, the verse. Okay, so anyway, he says, just look at the serpent. That's all they had to do. That's where we get the song, Look and Live. Just look at the serpent, okay? That's all they had to do. And I kind of get the idea, not a whole lot of them did that. But the ones that did it, then they were healed, right? And so, you know, as he lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we knew that's what that was symbolic of. I mean, we look at the cross, you know, and we look up at that, you know, and then we live. And the Bible says for the believer, okay, for the lost person, he's got to look and live, okay? For the believer, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So as a lost person, here's what you got to do. As a saved person, here's what you do, right? And so, another thought here in verse 9, a person shall reap. Let's read this verse. We haven't read this yet. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, y'all have heard me say this, I get tired. I got tired in the ministry. They used to tell me in Bible college, it's okay to get tired in the ministry. It's okay. It's okay to get tired in it, but you can't get tired of it, you know. If you dread it, going. But sometimes I just get tired. Sometimes I don't even set my alarm anymore. I just wake up around usually before 5 o'clock sometimes. Every now and then I'll fall back asleep and it'll be 5:30 and I say, oh, I don't want to get up. And it's just tiring. What time? Oh, you got to get pretty early, don't you, Linda? You got to go clean, right? So, yeah. Mike, what time you get up? 4:30? Same time? Okay. Do you get up and make Mike breakfast every morning? No? Okay. Hey, Mike, they got these cool things at Walmart. You just takes about 3 minutes. You know, it's got eggs and sausage, gravy, and all that. I just stab a few holes in the top, pop it in there. It's not bad. And I've looked at it. I think Bobby Kennedy would be okay with it. I don't think it's got a lot of preservatives in it and things like that, you know. But those are cool. Every now and then, Mike, I soup it up with an egg, okay? After 2 minutes, and then I'll break an egg on top of it and then just, you know, cook it another minute and then I stir it up. Yeah. I'm getting hungry. Here we go. Was that a rabbit?
It was a rabbit.
Okay. Bird? Oh, no, that's squirrel. Squirrel? Okay. All right. A person, he's going to reap if he doesn't faint, okay? Now, the student, again, we're getting back to the context of these verses, you know, down between, verse 6 and verse 10. The student, he must join with his teacher in the ministry if he wishes to reap the reward. There's some rewards that I would reap simply because I was around the teacher of God and he blesses me, okay? Must not withdraw, fall back, slack off, allow weariness, things like that. The student must be constant, steadfast, and persevering just as he was taught by his teacher. The student must join right in with the teacher in serving the Lord. The student must not faint, for in due season, he's going to reap, right? And, you know, the older I get, you know, the more I want to hear, you know, these words, you know, what? Well done. Good. I want to hear that so bad. I do. I hope God will say that to me someday. Okay, one last reason on how to teach. Let's go on to verse 10, okay? The Bible says in verse 10, and as we have therefore. Now, by the way, I was thinking about the pastor's ministry of helps that he was talking about when I was looking at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. You see who it said? Especially those that are of the household of faith, right? Those also, that are of the household. But let us do good, the Bible says, to all men. You know, so it's something that's scriptural. Very simply, at every opportunity, we are to join right in and do good every chance that we get, you know. The idea I get right here is that we need to stay alert. And I don't know, sometimes I question how, you know, David, how alert I really am to some of the needs that's going on. I know as Brother Joe taught me years ago, be nice to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. You know, there's something going on in our lives that we're having to deal with, you know, all the time. You know, as if we're younger parents, a lot of times it might be our kids or it might be our marriage, our spouse, or something going on, at school, the ministry, at church, you know. But the thing is, we should stay alert, keep our eyes open, and rush the idea I get. I mean, look at this verse. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those. I get the idea that we just ought to rush toward this need and try to take care of it, right? And the Bible tells you, you know, you might be entertaining an angel unawares, right? But no opportunity should be missed, you know, if you want a full reward, that is. And no opportunity should be missed to minister to all men, unbelievers, but especially to believers, right? I tell you what, there's nobody in our church ought to be wanting for anything. you know, because that's our responsibility to take care. One last piece of advice. The Bible says, but love your enemies. Do good and lend. Let me tell you the Bible way to lend money. You ready for this? The Bible says lend, hoping for nothing again. If you get it back, it's a bonus, okay? I mean, that's the way I look at it. If you can't lend and just kiss it goodbye, now it's a bonus if you get it back, okay? But the Bible says do good, lend, and it tells us to lend. And I tell you what, if you don't get it back, I'm convinced, again, you're given to God. It's something God told you to do, and he will be a debtor to no man, and you'll get it back some way. I mean, that's the way I see it anyway. But it says, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Think about the Lord. You know, one last thought. Let's just think about it. How was that the Lord did when he gave? He would lend, hoping for nothing again, right? And he was always faithful to meet every need that he possibly can. Amen? All right. Well, let's all bow for a word of prayer. Let's just do this. I don't know that we'll have a regular invitation, but let me just ask you this. You're here today, and you don't know for sure that when you're going to die that you go to heaven. In other words, you're not like I was on that Wednesday night. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life, right? The gift of God is eternal life. That means he's going to give it to you, and it's free. He's not even going to lend it to you in any way. He just wants to give it to you. Is there anybody here like that that says, you know what, I don't know for sure that when I die I'm going to go to heaven. But if there is a way from the Word of God, we're talking about teachers and the Word of God, if there's a way that you can know from the Word of God, and if I could show you from the Word of God how that you could know that you have the gift of eternal life, anybody here like that, just lift your hand and say, would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Because I've got somebody here that could show you. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the Word of God to our hearts in Christ's name.